Welcome to the December 19th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by The Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, my friends, we've come to the final episode of the football season for the Go Fast and Win podcast. We'll be back in March, I want to say, probably the first week of March, if not maybe the last week of February. All depends how the action is going. But we'll be back for March Madness. We'll do every week of March Madness with a podcast episode, and then we'll take a break in April and come back for the football season. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be audio content between now and then. It's just there won't be formal Go Fast and Win podcast episodes, unless, of course, there's some massive news, legislation, whatever that affects sports gambling, and of course, we can all, or gambling in general for that matter. And I can always throw up an episode up here to, you know, keep you up to date on whatever's going on and to dive in deep on that, on those topics. The one thing I want to add today is I'm trying to get this episode together early. I'm not going to have a chance to get to my computer, laptop, anything to get this episode out. So I'm doing it all from the phone. Usually I do the recording from the phone and then get on the computer and, you know, cut it up and put it all together into the episode. So this week's episode for the last one, it's going to be one take. So I apologize if I ramble. I apologize if I repeat myself, but it is going to be one file, one take. I can't even pause this. So I just have to go beginning to end of the episode. So it will also probably be a true Go Fast and Win podcast episode because I am going to try to go fast, get it all in one shot without stammering and going through, you know, a bunch of back and forth. So with that being said, and this being the last episode, I want to also note that the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, a winning 7-6 record. Let's get the win this week. End with an 8-6 record for 57% winners. So for listening to all my bullshit this season, you could come out ahead. And that's always the goal, is to win at the sharp place. So let's get a winner this week, but I'll jump into that a little later. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is that last week's episode regarding the Kelly Criterion got a phenomenal response. So I'm glad you enjoyed that topic. And I'm definitely, it's definitely going to be something that's going to be carried forward as we move into 2026. I want the sharp plays. Our goal on the team at the sharp plays is to make it all about professional betting. The whiners, the idiots, that's not, we're not even going to dive into that anymore. There will, of course, always be some commentary discussion and coaching to bring rookie gamblers up to that aspiring professional and professional better level, but it will not be tailored to the weak ones anymore. The 80% that need handholding every day, that can't handle two losses in a row and all this sort of bullshit. My goal in doing that wasn't to pander to them. It was really, from being in this industry for so long, those are the people that are most susceptible to just financial devastation, because they come in, they have an expectation of how gambling should go. And that is, professional bettors, it's an easy life. You start with a couple thousand dollars, you make a couple million dollars and in a very short period of time from that couple thousand. And then you have the fancy cars, the women, the houses, the private jets, and everything else. And if you lose, and holy shit, if you lose like a week, oh my God, that's impossible. If you lose a month, that you're a fucking scam, because there's no way a professional gambler would lose a month. And, you know, I don't give a shit what people say about the sharp plays, really, but I also have a place in my heart for gamblers who I don't want to see go bust. I don't want them to go bankrupt over stupidity. And that's where these people are headed. I don't give two shits whether they think the sharp plays is for real or not. The 90% of you out there listening, it's sold. You know, I mean, that's not even a question. And I appreciate all of us here, appreciate your loyalty and support for what we do. And we're always going to try to make it the best that it can be. And that is going to really become making it about professional betting. We're going to cover things like the Kelly Criterion. We're going to get into advanced strategies. We're not going to do a lot of the hand-holding anymore. So I'm always here. The rest of us are always here to answer any questions that you may have that come in. If you're concerned about bankroll management or discipline, there are no stupid questions. So when I get on the podcast and I talk about idiots and morons, that's just, those are the people that you have to take by the hand because they cry after a loss and, oh my God, we had a losing month. How is that even mathematically possible? These sorts of things. There are no stupid questions. If you're coming at the, you know, sending in a message and you have a question, you go, oh, this is a dumb question. It is not. You're coming at it from a serious position, please send it along. I would be happy to answer it. I'm never going to get a question from someone who's serious, who's a reasonably minded person, and go, well, you're a fucking idiot. You know, get out of here. Never, never once. It's the people who come in and go, how can we possibly go 0-3 in a run? That should never happen. You go, oh, you know, you're just next level stupid. You're not trying to find your way through sports gambling or learn. You're just out on some other planet. So please don't hesitate to send in a message. And yes, things like the Kelly criterion are things we're going to dive into more in 2026. So there were some questions that came in that I want to cover regarding the Kelly criterion. One of the first things, and I put this on the Telegram channel today, but I'll also put it here so we have, you know, it in multiple spots in case you didn't see it on Telegram. People are asking, how should they use Kelly criterion with Hermes AI? How should they use Kelly criterion with TSP portfolio? In those cases, you really don't use Kelly criterion. Kelly criterion is a method to figure out how much you should bet on something without any other guidance. So you just know the price is minus 110, my bankroll is $10,000, and this angle that I'm betting on long term has shown to win 54% of the time. You plug those things in, and Kelly says this is what you should bet on that game. Now, I should step back in one spot and say that when Kelly Criterion says you should, you know, with the $10,000 bankroll and all these different variables, and it says you should bet for a half Kelly, $264. That is what you should risk. That is not what you're not risking something, you know, 10% more than that to win the 264. You're risking 264 to win whatever that pays based on the line. So just remember that Kelly criterion dictates your risk level, not your win or base wager level. It is your risk level. Now, getting back to what I was talking about is TSP portfolio and Hermes AI already have built-in bankroll management that use sort of a modified Kelly criterion. When it comes to Hermes, when there's a 30 to 39 score, that's a 1% base wager. When it's a 50 to 59 score, that's a 1.5% base wager. Now you might be saying, how do I figure this out? I don't even know. Go to tsp.live/Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. And on that page, you will see a tiered breakdown of Hermes risk or Hermes base wager. Now, not to throw a lot of stuff back and forth, but in the case of Hermes, the scores are the base wager. So when it says a 1.5% base wager, that means if it's a minus 110, you're risking 1.65% to win the 1.5 dictated by the Hermes table. If it's a plus 200, then you're risking 1.5 units to win 3 units in that case. So that's just your base wager as dictated by Hermes. But you don't need Kelly criterion there because Hermes analysis was optimized to figure out what are the best bankroll levels for these different games, or excuse me, for these different scores, for these different wagers. So there's no reason to use the Kelly criterion when it comes to Hermes scores. That's already done for you. If you would like to use Kelly criterion when it comes to Hermes scores, you can do that. Download the Hermes log of all the different plays. You can get that at thesharpplays.com. It will break down all the different scores. You can sort by score. You can calculate the win percentage, and then you have what you need to put in Kelly criterion and figure out your own Hermes AI breakdown based on actual performance. So there are two ways to go, but when it comes to Hermes, you really don't have to think about it if you don't want to, because the score dictates the risk, and that's the built-in, we'll call Hermes criterion, as to how you should wager. When it comes to TSP portfolio, that's another managed product. So on managed products where we're dictating the risk, there's no need to use Kelly criterion. You can, but then you have to break it out for yourself, download the portfolio log, sort it by risk, you know, calculate the win percentage. It can be done and it's not that difficult. It'll take you maybe an hour or so, but you really don't need to spend the time, I guess is the point. Where Kelly criterion comes in and where you want to use it is when there isn't a managed product. So something like TSP Live Radar, something like TSP Insiders, even something like Group Buys is where Kelly criterion would come into play. And the reason for that is TSP Live Radar, whether it's a 60, a TSP Live Radar reading of 60, or it's a TSP Live Radar reading of 82, All of that is graded on a 1 unit or 1% basis. And that's just done as a performance metric. So it's just graded on a 1 unit basis to keep it standardized across all content that isn't managed like Hermes AI or TSP Portfolio. So when you look at it, you can go, okay, this is, you know, this content I'm looking at is, 22 and 20 for plus 0 units because everything, let's say on that angle is a minus 110. So it's break even, but the 1 unit is just there to create a performance metric. What we do know is that different scores within the TSP Live Radar win at different readings is what they're known as for TSP Live Radar. Different readings within the TSP Live Radar have different win percentages. How do you find this out? Go to thesharpplays.com, click records and logs, and there is a sports, I think it's called sports content records. I think that's the link on the website. Click that and it'll give you all the group buys and TSP insiders and TSP Live Radar readings, KB consensus, book needs, everything. Give you that win percentage and the record that's, it'll also show the record. And so then you can go and see, and I'm just making this up. I don't know offhand exactly what the radar is, but let's say TSP Live Radar readings of 60 to 64 win 54% of the time. And you see there is a 64 reading going today on such and such angle. Well, you know that wins 54% of the time, so that's all you need to figure out what should you risk on that TSP Live Radar angle if you want to play it. You can go to the new and fancy, Kelly Criterion Calculator. See what I mean when I can't edit this stuff? Anyways, Kelly Criterion Calculator. Go to tsp.live/Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, and there's a little rundown of what Kelly Criterion is, and at the bottom of the page is the Kelly Criterion Calculator. And so you now know you want to wager on this TSP Live Radar angle. You know for years TSP Live Radar has been going, so you're pretty confident that it's won 54% of the time up to this point when it's a 60 to 64 reading. So you're going to consider that 54% what you're going to use. So now you put in your $10,000 bankroll, or maybe you have a bankroll of $10,863. Put in $10,863 minus 110 because it's a football game and a spread. If you can get it at minus 108 or you can get it at minus 105, well, definitely put that in because that will change what Kelly Criterion says you should bet on something. So you put in your bankroll, you put in the odds that you can get that wager at, and then you simply calculate it. I'm sorry, there is one more thing on the calculator. You put the win percentage. See what I mean by jumping around? So it's the win percentage, 54%, your bankroll, and the price you can get at minus 108, minus 110, whatever. Then you click calculate. The calculator is going to give you the full Kelly, the half Kelly, and the quarter Kelly. The full Kelly is within the mathematical parameters of Kelly Criterion, but it is very aggressive. I would not suggest anyone use full Kelly. I would say 90% of professional gamblers use half Kelly. And if you want to be more passive and just test this out initially, do a quarter Kelly. It's not bad. It's fully optimized. It's many people use that. But if you're looking, what do professionals use? Most of them do the half Kelly. And that'll be all calculated out for you. It'll dictate, okay, this is what you should bet. There you go. Now you know you're going to bet, again, I'm just making up numbers here, $313 based on your bankroll on whatever team has the 64 TSP Live Radar reading today that you want to wager on. And that's it. Away you go when it comes to Kelly Criterion. But that is where really Kelly Criterion comes into play, is for things that are just graded in content on a 1 unit basis as a performance metric, not managed products. And right now, the only managed products that are in the TSP content would be Hermes, TSP Portfolio, and the new Degenerates Portfolio as part of TSP Live. If you decided to build a model, and your model, your expectation is that it's going to win 53%. You can use Kelly Criterion for that. That's how you can figure out how much should I bet initially on this. Again, it's expected win percentage. You can't predict the future. If you knew that forever this angle or whatever is going to hit 58%, well, that would make gambling very easy, but we don't know that. So all we can do is use the past performance when it comes to what do you have as your win expectation for this angle so you can input it into the calculator and get what your risk should be. And also definitely shop around for lines because, as I said earlier in this discussion, if you can get something at a minus one, that's minus 110 normally, but you can get it at minus 105 or you can get it plus 100 or plus 105, definitely take that and put that in the calculator because that will change what Kelly says you should bet on. Because if you're hitting 54% and instead of minus 110, you can get plus 100, Kelly's going to say to bet more if nothing else changes. So just something to think about when it comes to shopping around. And I think that was really all the questions that I had kind of summed up, you know, in this consolidated version. If you have other questions, feel free to send them along. Shoot a message over on Telegram, send an email, go to the website and click the contact or the support links and just send a message in. I'd be happy to address it. If it's a common question, I'll throw it up on Telegram and perhaps put it on a future podcast, something like that. So that covers the Kelly criterion from last week. The one thing I wanted to discuss before I get into the guts of things are the 2026 outlook. Discussed earlier, it's going to be more targeted towards professional bettors and aspiring professional bettors. People have always asked for a masterclass, and I said masterclass in sports gambling is impossible because things change every month. You know, something is changing, and that masterclass that you spend 20 hours putting together to put out, you'd need to change and amend every single month. So TSP Live itself, I want to make into the masterclass. We've discussed this on the team. Sound like a great idea. That's what we're going to do is 2026. TSP Live is essentially a masterclass for professional betting. Everything that we do, the Kelly criterion, the strategies, the techniques, the commentary, there's going to be more passing. And I know that scares people. They go, oh, shit, we're going to pass a lot. Well, in a typical month, we pass maybe one or two days. With the launch of the Degenerates portfolio, those subscribers who come in and say, son of a bitch, I want content. I want something to bet on every single day. I don't give a fuck. Okay, fine. That's what the Degenerates portfolio will be there for. Degenerates portfolio will always, unless there's no games in that day, will always have content for you to wager on. And of course, the goal is to win money. It is profitable right now, thanks to the Sabres rollover and hopefully some other action today. But just thanks to the Sabres rollover, we're in the green. So that's positive for the Degenerates portfolio. The goal is to have it win money and to give you daily content. But when it comes to actual professional betting, a lot of days you don't gamble. I could see there being roughly, you know, 3 to 5 days on average per month that we're just taking a pass when it comes to the official and graded content. And you're going to see how much that improves the performance overall and over time when you take those passes because you're not forcing stuff. So instead of in the past where we'd have 1 or 2 days, maybe at best passing, you're going to see 3 to 5 in a typical month where there's no graded or official content. But I think that's going to optimize performance. And if you want something, if you're looking to wager, even if it's just candy money because you want to mess around on your board, Degenerates portfolio will be there every single day for subscribers. Now, of course, there's also, you know, other content like TSP Live Radar isn't considered green box content on its own, but many people wager on it. So you always have that sort of additional content for subscribers moving into 2026. And before we get to 2026, I want to just cover one takeaway that I have when it comes to 2025. And that is something I'm finally able to say, I told you so. I already did the I told you so article and commentary earlier this month, so many of you know where I'm going with this. But that is to say, at this time last year in 2024, people were panicking, crying, tantruming. Oh my God, we're in the middle of a 19% drawdown. This is horrible. It's the end of the world. TSP content has failed. It's over. The run is done. Time to bury it in the ground. Well, in that moment, the only thing I could really tell people is, listen, you're not going to believe me, you're not going to listen to it, but if I could fast forward you to December of 2025, you would see that this run was nothing, that it eventually was all erased, and a large quantity of profits were put on top after this money was covered. And of course, in that moment, nobody believes you, they think it's dead, it's over, it's whatever. So, well, now I can say I told you so, because after that 19-unit drawdown, what people didn't realize is we were way overdue for a drawdown last year. The TSP Live content at the time was only TSP Portfolio. So now where we have Hermes AI handles straight bets and TSP Portfolio handles exotics and TSP Insiders brings intel, back in December 2024, TSP Insiders was only a couple months old. It was winning and profitable, but it was only a couple months old, so there wasn't a lot of content to work on there. And there was no Hermes AI because that launched in January of 2026. So everything in 2024 was, January 2025 is when Hermes launched. Sorry, getting ahead of myself there. Everything in 2024, though, was TSP Portfolio. Everything within TSP Live was TSP Portfolio. And going into late November, it was up 94%. And it was a great run. It didn't have a losing month since November of the previous year. So December of 2023, and then every month in 2024, except for August, I think it lost like 2 units, so really nothing big, but it still, I guess, technically was a losing month. But nobody had been used to losing since November of 2023 up to that point. Well, sure enough, late November of 2024, things are going along great. We're up 94%. That's almost doubling your bankroll in 2024. late November into December, the regression finally hits. We were way overdue. It came in 19% drawdown from late November all the way to the end of December. And yeah, that sucks. You want to go out at the end of the year on a great year. You want to go out on a high note. You want to get that, you know, Christmas bonus, as we call it in sports gambling, that little bit of performance at the end of the year to pad the bankroll. But it didn't happen. Sucks. The previous year in 2023, we killed it in December. So maybe that's why we were due for regression. That combined with the run of the multi-month run of profits. But whatever it was, lost money in December of last year. Well, now we look at where we are in December of this year, 2025. And in that time, that 19-unit drawdown has long been covered, and we've made substantial profits on top. Right now, the TSP trifecta, which is the core of TSP Live content, is Insiders, Hermes AI, and Portfolio, is up over 96% on the year. We are basically doubling bankroll in 2025, doubling your bankroll. If you had the patience last December to just ride out the regression. It wasn't even the worst regression we've ever faced. We've had months. In 2023, TSP Portfolio lost 50%, 50% drawdown in May and June. Yes, we had profits up to that point, so it's not like we started at 100 units and we're down 50 units already. But we had profits going in, but it was still a 50% or 50-unit drawdown on bankrolls in May and June of 2023. At the end of the year, still a phenomenal year. We killed it. One of the greatest years, and ended on that awesome December 2023 performance. We were over 100 units that month alone. Just killed it. Then we get into 2024. We have this little drawdown, but people get spoiled. After a while, you're not used to losing. So when you lose anything and you haven't been used to losing, yeah, it's a big deal. So long story short, and this is where the editing would come in, so I apologize. I'm rambling here on this episode. Hopefully you enjoy it, or it's somewhat interesting and I haven't lost all of you. But here we are, doubling bankroll in 2025, getting ready to kill it again in 2026. All you needed was a little patience. If you could have just rode out the regression, a little patience, it would have paid off substantially. Those of you that are here, great year, a lot of profits in the pocket. And again, let's look to do it in 2026. The last things that I'm going to get to, first of all, I have to give a shout out to our advertisers. There is going to be a special TSP Insiders package next week. There's going to be a discount on TSP Live for January. All this has been supported by our sponsors. So please, please patronize the sponsors. Thanks for checking them out. They're going to make it all possible. Next week, we're going to have a dramatically discounted TSP Insiders package for Christmas. We're going to have a discount for January TSP Live. And there's going to be more stuff along the way that we're working on now. But those are just two things, thanks to the sponsors. And so before I get into discussion about the playoff action that's going on out there, I just want to say thank you to Citadel Computing at CitadelComputing.com. They provide 98% of the services, from technical to virtual assistance. So when you go on the website, that hosting, it's all arranged by Citadel Computing, programming all handled by Citadel Computing and their subcontractors. Citadel Computing provides a comprehensive suite of privacy-driven corporate services designed to protect your identity, secure your digital presence, and support global business operations. Their solutions are engineered for entrepreneurs, e-commerce businesses, high-risk industries, political organizations, media personalities, high-profile individuals, and anyone who demands absolute confidentiality. Information is power. Protect yours. CitadelComputing.com. Thank you very much to them. They are going to be the, sponsor of next week's TSP Insiders package, because their ad revenue is going to go to cover that, to give you guys a great discount on TSP Insiders for next week. And it's a great week next week. You got Christmas. It's going to be an extended package, kind of like what we did for Thanksgiving with TSP Insiders. So you're going to get Wolf and Tony stuff. I'll get into it all next week. Don't want to belabor the point here. All the details will be there for you. Thank you to Citadel Computing for providing that to everyone. And then we'll get to the next ad in a little bit here. When it comes to the playoffs, what is going on in the playoff action? So a couple things. And again, because I'm just running with this on a single take and a live read of everything here with no editing, I'm just going to dive into what I know and what I can cover. Tonight, Alabama, Oklahoma. Early money was on Alabama, late money since last night, coming in on Oklahoma to -1. So I'm going to call it small, could be approaching medium sharp buy on Oklahoma. Let's see how that goes, if that changes as we move forward. On to Saturday. In the early game, a very, very small buy on Miami of Florida. This could, it is so small. I'm only reporting it because I'm covering the playoffs, but it is so small it could flip either way. So really, I wouldn't take this as gospel right now, but a small, sharp buy on Miami of Florida plus the points. In the next game, my Ole Miss Rebels taking on Tulane. They killed Tulane earlier this season. I don't know what to expect here. I would love to see them kick the shit out of Tulane, just make it a big game, but I don't want them to blow their load either. I don't want them to have all this built-up emotion and everything from Kiffin leaving and all the stuff that has gone on, and they just lay it all on the field. They just have, like, an emotional orgasm on the field, get everything out, and then they have nothing left to play Georgia next week. So, I mean, first of all, I hope Ole Miss obviously wins, but I actually want Ole Miss to kind of take it easy this game. I want them to save that emotional orgasm for the Georgia game because they're going to need it there to win that one in New Orleans. So if I have to place a bet, I would probably be leaning to Tulane. There is no sharp money either way here. And I'm going to hold my like official opinion as to what I would take here. I'm just going to say this is like a lean. If gun to my head, I got to place a bet, I would probably take the points with Tulane because my hope at least is Ole Miss comes out to a decent lead. I mean, they kicked the shit out of Tulane earlier this season. They should do it again here. But with the coaching changes and, you know, just everybody getting on the same page and used to working together with this new structure, they could start slow. And I could also see them getting to a point where they're up 28 or 24 late in the game. They pull out of the starters just to rest everybody for Georgia and just kind of go, okay, we did good. We played well. We got a nice lead. You know, you don't want to get anybody hurt. And then all of a sudden, yes, that leaves the door open for Tulane to get the back door cover. You know, if they're down by 24, they get that late touchdown. Who cares? Ole Miss won cleanly and easily. But we know who cares. The people who took Tulane plus 17.5 and now are covering by the hook because of how that played out. So I have no good sharp money reporting or anything on the Ole Miss game. All I can tell you is that, you know, if I had to place a bet, I would take Tulane right now in the points. But I'll have more information hopefully tomorrow, see how things shake out, and see if sharp money comes in. I'm actually surprised that sharp money hasn't come in and taken Tulane plus 17.5, which is making me wonder if, you know, Ole Miss is just going to blow them out as a whole. Hopefully if Ole Miss blows them out, it's an easy game and they don't really have to exert a lot of energy or, again, all that emotional energy and whatever that they have pent up. I want them to save that for Georgia. In the last game tomorrow, we have Oregon and James Madison, and I'm going to get to this game a little later, so I'll leave that one for now. But that's all I have on the college football playoffs. Just some lower level action, probably the best read right now outside of what I'll get into for the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, is that Oklahoma tonight is getting the money. I really liked Alabama. I thought it played well for the NCAA narrative to kind of, you know, Alabama shouldn't be in the playoff, get Notre Dame in there. This is ridiculous. They're just in because they're Alabama and all that stuff. And you know how the NCAA is. They always like to prove themselves right. So they had Alabama in. So I could see them wanting to prove themselves right that Alabama should be there. So they beat the hell out of Oklahoma. So that's kind of given me mixed emotions about this game. But mixed emotions because the sharp money being on Oklahoma consistently since last night and at a decent level is what's holding me back. Otherwise, I was definitely leaning to Alabama in that one. So we have sharp money on Oklahoma, very small sharp money on Miami of Florida, no sharp money yet Ole Miss and Tulane. And I'll get to the late game, James Madison and Oregon, later when I get to the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. And hey, why wait any longer? Let's get into it. The My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year is sponsored by ProfitX. Sign up today, ProfitX.co, or you can download their app. ProfitX, it is not a sports book. It is a betting exchange. So when you bet, you're betting against other players. They're putting up their position. Let's say they want Alabama tonight. They're loading up their positions on Alabama. So the market has this Alabama money. You come in and you go, I want Oklahoma. I heard TSP talking that Oklahoma was getting sharp money. I'm going to take Oklahoma. You're taking the money from those other gamblers. That's getting matched up as an exchange, just like buying and selling and selling stock. And that is how the bets are made. That's how the parlays are done. It is not a sports book. That's why I'm more than happy to advertise them, because these exchanges, I wish there were more of them, because they won't block sharp bettors. They want bettors. They want money coming in. Unlike a sports book that if you win $40 off and they go, oh, fuck, you're a winner, well, you're out of here. These guys won't. That's the great part of an exchange. Check them out today. ProfitX, they do props. They do parlays. Limits, that is the issue. They, you know,
you can easily, usually on most events, get $500 or $1,000 down. You can get a parlay for $500 down. If you're looking to drop $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or more, you probably can do it on these college bowl games. You could do it on the NFL. Other sports, it is more difficult. But if you're a smaller bettor, $500 or less, you should have no problem at PropitX. Gives you a great format, easy to bet on, and their pricing is really good. There have been a lot of times where there's a game in TSP Live. It's a group buy. I know I commented on it before, where we're getting it at -3 across the market, but at -110. And PropitX has it at -3, -105, or -3 even money. And so it's always worth looking at PropitX to see what pricing they have. They have very, very good pricing. So check them out today, PropitX.com. Use the referral code TSP. If you do that, you help the Sharp Plays out, and all that money, 100% of the ad revenue that comes in, is going back to you in giveaways, discounts, etc., just like the TSP Insiders package. Dramatic discount next week for that package, thanks to Citadel Computing. PropitX, the ad revenue that comes in from them, they're going to give you the discount on TSP Live for January, so stay tuned for that. We'll discuss that more as we get closer to the end of the year. And let's do it. I'm surprised. I thought this would be really shitty if I had to go talking from the beginning to the end on this audio file with no editing and no stopping. So we're almost there to the finish line. Let's cross it now. My handicapping game of the week of the year, 7-6 on the season. Let's get it to 8-6. Make it worth your while to listen to this podcast so you can make some money with the plays. My handicapping game of the week of the year is going to be James Madison plus the 21 over Oregon. It's a simple handicap for me on this one. It kind of goes to what I was talking about Alabama moments ago, where the NCAA has a narrative. Everyone is talking about, you know, okay, again, Notre Dame didn't get into the playoff. They deserve a spot. Tulane doesn't deserve a spot. James Madison doesn't deserve a spot. They're not going to win the national championship. They shouldn't be in these games. It should be Notre Dame and whomever else they want to put in there. And that's been the narrative, and that's been the complaint, and that's been the gripes that have been going on and on and on and on since they put the bracket up for the college football playoff games and Notre Dame wasn't in it. That's the bitching that's been going on. The NCAA does not want to be shown up. If James Madison and Tulane get the shit kicked out of them, and this is what's also preventing me from just jumping on hard on Ole Miss, if those teams get the shit kicked out of them, oh my God, the volume about Notre Dame should have been in there, the volume about these teams aren't worthwhile to be in the playoff and they don't deserve it, that's going to go through the roof, and the NCAA is going to have to deal with all this bullshit. What is the one way the NCAA doesn't get to deal with all this bullshit? Is if Tulane and or James Madison are highly competitive in their games. Am I calling for James Madison to get the upset? Well, the NCAA would absolutely love that. If James Madison could pull the upset, or Tulane, I hope they don't, but if Tulane could pull the upset over Ole Miss, that would show the committee, give the committee some juice, because it would show everybody, look at these teams can compete. So what are you talking about? Notre Dame, yeah, they got to play better next time. Get in the top 10, not worry about being at at large bid and whatever else, or get in on these wild card spots, or move it to 14 teams, or any of that bullshit. Because James Madison deserved to be there, Tulane deserved to be there. Let's just hope it's James Madison, though. And the only way for that to happen is for James Madison to be competitive. So with the 21 points, that's a lot of points to have here. I am not, this is hardly a all-in kind of play, because all I'm playing is the narrative. It is purely a narrative play that James Madison needs to be competitive for the NCAA. So I will take James Madison to be competitive as the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. James Madison plus 21. Let's get to 8-6, 57% on the season with these selections. And it would also be a nice little boost at the end here to grab a winner and have this big comeback from the negative record that we had starting out these plays on the Go Fast and Win podcast this season. And my friends, that'll do it. We got to the end of it. Thank you for bearing with me. My apologies on the bad audio or the rambling or stammering or whatever else went on in this podcast. I had to do it in one take. We got it in one take. We got it in one file. So I want to wish, before I let you go, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, whatever you celebrate, and a very happy, healthy, wealthy, prosperous 2026 ahead. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast this season. It has really been a pleasure, and you guys make this business fun every single day. So again, thank you very much. Cash some tickets, get that Christmas bonus. Let's get James Madison home, and I will talk to you again soon. God bless all of you. Good luck.